The signs. When will the day of judgment come? The Quran has made it clear that no one except God has knowledge of this. Only He knows when it will come, and He has not disclosed this matter even to any of His prophets and angels. Reference the Quran Surah 7 verse 187, Surah 20 verse 15, and Surah 41 verse 47. However, the signs and portents which will signal its advent are mentioned in the Quran and the Hadith, and also in previous divine scriptures. Some of these signs are very general and others are in the form of specific incidents and happenings. The signs of this first category are not mentioned in the Quran. Only the Hadith literature mentions them. Of the signs of the second category too, only one is mentioned in the Quran, the onslaught of Gog and Magog. Therefore, this only is the certain sign. Other signs which are generally known in this regard are found in narratives which the scholars of Hadith technically regard as sahih. Some of these signs have already manifested themselves, and others, if their ascription towards the Prophet ﷺ is correct, shall definitely manifest themselves in future. The signs of the first category relate to the moral degradation that will appear in the whole world before the Day of Judgment. Thus it is reported that knowledge will be lifted, ignorance will increase, fornication, drinking, and killings and lootings would become rampant, so much so that innocent people will be killed. Women will outnumber men to the extent that the affairs of 50 women will be entrusted to one man. Only evil people will exist in this world, and it will become devoid of people who take God's name. Reference Al-Bukhari Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 91, Numbers 80-81, Muslim Al-Jami' Al-Sahih 75, 1162-1260. Numbers 375, 67, 85, and 7304. Of the signs of the second category, the most important is the onslaught of Gog and Magog. The Quran says, "Until the time arrives that Gog and Magog are let loose, and they launch an onslaught from every hill, and the certain promise of the Day of Judgment nears its fulfillment, then behold that the disbelievers shall stare in amazement. At that time they will say, 'Woe be to us! We remained indifferent to it. In fact, we have wronged our souls.'" Surah 21, verses 96-97. Gog and Magog are from the descendants of Noah's son, Japheth, who inhabited the northern areas of Asia. Later, some of their tribes reached Europe, and after that settled in America and Australia. In the Book of Ezekiel, they are called the leaders of Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. Rush, Meshach, and Tubal are present-day Russia, Moscow, and Tobolsk. The word of the Lord came to me, "Son of man, set your face against Gog, of the land of Magog, the chief prince of Rush, Meshach, and Tubal. Prophesy against him." Ezekiel 38:1-2. "Son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, 'This is what the sovereign Lord says. I am against you, O Gog, chief prince of Rush, Meshach, and Tubal. I will turn you around and drag you along. I will bring you from the far north.'" Ezekiel 39 verses 1-2. It is evident from the revelation of John the Divine that the onslaught of Gog and Magog will begin sometime after 1,000 years have passed on the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam as a prophet. At that time, they would be surrounding the earth from all sides. When the disorder they would spread reaches its culmination, fire will descend from the heavens and the tremors of the Day of Judgment will begin. When the 1,000 years are over, Satan will be released from his prison and will go out to deceive the nations in the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. In number, they are like the sand on the seashore. They marched across the breadth of the earth and surrounded the camp of God's people, the city he loves. Note that the camp of God's people is a reference to Medina. But fire came down from heaven and devoured them. Revelation 20, verses 7-9. This same period of time is ascertained by the signs of proximity of the Day of Judgment, which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in a question posed to him by Gabriel when he came to him in human form to instruct people. The Prophet ﷺ is reported to have said, "One sign is that a slave lady will give birth to her mistress, and the second is that you will see these indigent Arab shepherds walking about barefooted, bareheaded, trying to compete one another in making tall buildings." The second of these signs is very obvious. Every person can see how it has manifested itself in Arabia ever since the last century. However, people have generally found it difficult to determine what is implied by the first of these signs. It is very evident to me. Its implication is that slavery as an institution shall stand abolished. Both these events have taken place simultaneously. Viewed thus, these two predictions absolutely determine the period of proximity of the Day of Judgment. The signs which will manifest after these two have been mentioned by the Prophet ﷺ at one instance, and these include the onslaught of Gog and Magog. He is reported to have said, "The meaning of this narrative is that these are the 10 signs of the Day of Judgment, and unless they appear, the day will not come." These signs are, number 1, the sinking of the earth in the east, number 2, the sinking of the earth in the west, number 3, the sinking of the earth in the Arabian Peninsula, number 4, smoke. This could refer to a great atomic explosion also. Number 5, Dajjal. This is an adjective meaning a great deceiver. It has also been referred to as Al-Masih al-Dajjal. The implication is that before the Day of Judgment, a person will falsely claim to be Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and while making use of the notion of the return of Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam found in Muslims, Jews and Christians will deceive people through some of his magical powers. It is mentioned in some narratives that he would be blind in one eye, and his deception would be so evident to the believers that it would be as if they would see disbelief written on his forehead. Number 6. A land animal which will probably be born directly from the earth, the way all creatures were created directly in the beginning. Number 7. The onslaught of Gog and Magog. This has already begun and is gradually going towards its culmination. Number 8. The rising of the sun in the west. Number 9. A fire that will rise from a pit of the Yemenite city of Eden and drive the people from behind. Number 10. A wind that will blow people away into the sea. Besides these, the advent of Mahdi and that of Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam from the heavens are also regarded as signs for the Day of Judgment. I have not mentioned them. The reason is that the narratives of the advent of Mahdi do not conform to the standards of hadith criticism set forth by the Muhaddithun. Some of them are weak and some fabricated. No doubt, some narratives which are acceptable with regard to their chain of narration inform us of the coming of a generous caliph. Reference Muslim al-Jami' al-Sahih 1261-1262, number 7318. However, if they are deeply deliberated upon, it becomes evident that the caliph they refer to is Umar ibn Abdulaziz, who was the last caliph of the early history of the Muslims. This prediction of the Prophet ﷺ has thus materialized in his personality word for word. One does not need to wait for any other Mahdi now. As far as the narratives which record the advent of Jesus ﷺ are concerned, though the Muhaddithun have generally accepted them, however, if they are analyzed in the light of the Quran, they too become dubious. Firstly, the personality of Jesus ﷺ has been discussed in the Quran from various aspects. The Quran has commented on his da'wah mission and his personality at a lot of places. The cataclysm that will take place on the Day of Judgment is also a very frequently discussed topic of the Quran. The advent of a celebrated prophet of God from the heavens is no small an incident, in spite of the fact that there were many instances in which this incident could have been mentioned. We find that there is not a single place in which it is mentioned in the Quran. Can human knowledge and intellect be satisfied with this silence? One does find this hard to digest. Secondly, the Quran has recorded a dialogue of God with Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which will take place on the Day of Judgment. During the course of this conversation, the Almighty will ask him about the real sphere in which the Christians had gone astray, the divinity of Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mary. He will ask Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam if it was as per his instructions that he had told people to deify himself and his mother whilst leaving aside God. In response to this question, among other things, Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam will say that he instructed his people in the very manner he was asked by God, and that as long as he remained among them, he watched over what they were doing, and that after his own demise he was not aware of what good or evil they did, and that after his death, it was God who watched over them. In this dialogue, one can clearly feel that the last sentence is very inappropriate if Jesus ﷺ had also come in this world a second time. In such a case, he should have responded by saying that he knew what happened with them, and that a little earlier he had gone to warn them of their grievous faults. The Quran says, "Never did I say to them except what you commanded me to do, worship Allah my Lord and your Lord, and I was a witness over them while I dwelt with them. When you gave death to me, you were the watcher over them and you are a witness over all things." Reference Surah 5 verse 117. Thirdly, in one verse of the Quran, the Almighty has disclosed what will happen to Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his followers till the Day of Judgment. Sense and reason demand that here he should also have disclosed his second coming before the advent of this day. However, we find no such mention. If Jesus sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to come, why was silence maintained at this instance? One is unable to comprehend any reason for it. The verse is, "O Jesus, I have decided to give death to you and raise you to myself and cleanse you from these people who have denied you. I shall make those who follow you superior to those who reject faith till the day of judgment. Then to me you shall all return. So at that time I shall give my verdict in what you have been differing in." Surah 3 verse 55. The events. How will the day of judgment come about? The details of what will ensue at the advent of this day are mentioned in the Quran at a number of places. What will happen to the heavens and the earth, and what will befall the sun and the moon, the planets and stars, and what situation will be faced by the creatures of the earth, and how will people emerge from their graves to gather around their Lord is all portrayed in the Quran. A study of pre-Islamic Arabic literature shows that Arabs relished parables more than similes. The Quran, while taking this into account, has portrayed the picture of the cataclysm that will take place on that day in such a graphic manner that the reader feels and sees all these events happening before him. The sequence of events which will take place as per the Quran is the following. People would be deeply involved in their life routine. Some would be on the way, some in the market, some in a gathering, and some at their homes, and no one would have the slightest inkling that this whole world is about to be disrupted, when suddenly the trumpet would be blown and the upheaval of the Day of Judgment would take place. And remember the day when the trumpet is sounded, and all who are between the heavens and the earth will be horror-struck except for those whom God will choose to spare. Surah 27 verse 87. The word Al-Sur has been translated as the trumpet. What actually would be the nature of this trumpet, of course, cannot be determined, and as such it belongs to the mutashabihat category. However, one can have some idea of what it implies because the word trumpet does give us an idea of what it would be. In order to delineate the system and affairs of his world, the Almighty uses words found in the vocabulary of human beings which are akin to their own system and affairs. The purpose is to take us closer in our imagination to what is being discussed, and the purpose is not to make us understand the exact nature and form of what is being discussed, the way it is found in this world. In ancient times, the trumpet was sounded during royal processions or to herald an attack. It is evident from the Quran that a similar thing would be sounded to announce the advent of the Day of Judgment. As the Quran in Surah 81 verses 4-5 portrays, this sound would strike panic and fear among the creatures of this earth, causing people to even forget their dearest possessions, and animals of the forest would gather together in utter confusion. Finally, all creatures of the earth would pass out because of this horrific sound. And the trumpet shall be sounded, and all those between the heavens and the earth shall fall down fainting except those whom God shall spare. Surah 39 verse 68. At various places, the Quran has graphically depicted what will happen to the creatures of this earth when this commotion ensues. When after the first earthquake tremor the second tremor comes, the state of the earth would be much like a ship which is being swept by the tumultuous waves around it, and whose inhabitants as a result would be trembling with fear with eyes horror-struck. And they would be so overcome and stricken by the situation as if the horrific punishment of God had driven them mad. The Quran says, "O people, have fear of your Lord. The cataclysm of the Day of Judgment is very dreadful indeed. The day you see it, on that day every suckling mother shall forget her infant, and every pregnant female shall cast her burden. And you shall see mankind in a state of inebriation, though they would be not inebriated, but it would be because God's punishment would be so grave." Surah 22 verses 1-2. It would be at this time when great disruption in the physical world will begin. Such great commotion would ensue all over this universe that mountains would be crushed to grains, seas would burst forth, and all galaxies and heavenly bodies would be displaced and would fuse into one another. So great would this all-embracing upheaval be that minds cannot imagine it and words cannot describe it. This turmoil would continue for a period known only to God. At the time when the sun ceases to shine, and when the stars are bedimmed, and when the mountains are set moving, and when camels, 10 months pregnant, are left untended, and when wild beasts, forgetting all their enmities, are herded together, and when the seas burst forth, then, O people, each one of you will know what he has brought forward. Surah 81, verses 1 to 6 and 14. That day when the sky is sent asunder and obeys its Lord's command as is befitting for it, and when the earth is stretched out and casts out all that is within her, and becomes empty and obeys its Lord as it should do, that will be the day when you shall meet your Lord. Surah 84, verses 1 to 5. After this, the second phase will begin. In the Quran, this phase has been called the phase in which mankind will be recreated. Thus, from this very turmoil, a new physical world will emerge. Remember the day when we shall roll up the heavens like a scroll wrapped in parchment. Just as we brought about the first creation, so will we do it again. This is a promise liable on us, and we shall assuredly fulfill it. Surah 21, verse 104. In what manner would this next phase come about? The Almighty has told us that all heavenly bodies, including this earth, sun, moon, and galaxies, made of billions of stars and planets, would change into an earth and heavens having new physical laws. Keep in mind the day when the earth is changed into a different earth and the heavens also. Reference Surah 14, verse 48. According to the Quran, at this juncture, the trumpet would be sounded once again, after which mankind would rise from their graves and would advance to the court of justice set up by their Lord for them. Then the trumpet will be blown again, and they shall suddenly rise and look around them. Surah 39, verse 68. And the trumpet will be blown, and all of a sudden they will rise up from their graves and hasten to their Lord. Surah 36, verse 51. Phases and abodes. The phases through which a person passes and the abodes in which he is lodged during his journey to meet his Lord are also mentioned in the Quran. Slowly but surely, he is moving to encounter his Lord. The first phase of this journey is death. After a short stay in this world, every single person passes through this phase. There is no escape from it. The Almighty has said, "Every person shall taste death." Surah 3, verse 185. It can come in the morning and it can come in the evening. One may taste it even before one's birth or right after birth. It can come in childhood, in youth, or in old age, at any time, and every person has to submit to it whether he likes it or not. According to the Quran, at death, the real personality of a person, which is called the soul by the Quran, and which is independent of his body, is separated from his mortal being. The Almighty has told us that initially also it was given to man at the culmination of his mortal being, which took place after passing through various phases, and today also it is given to it once about 120 days elapse on the embryo. Death is the name of separating this personality of a person from his body. A specific angel, who has a whole staff of angels, is deputed for this task. Reference the Quran Surah 4 verse 97, Surah 6 verse 93, and Surah 16 verse 28. He formally comes and claims a person's soul, just as a government official entrusted for collecting something discharges his responsibility. Tell them, "The angel of death deputed over you shall claim your souls. Then to your Lord shall you be returned." Surah 32, verse 11. At this instance, what happens to a person is also depicted in the Quran. The souls of people who have deliberately rejected their prophets, even after being convinced of their veracity, are claimed by the angels, whilst they hit and strike these disbelievers, and at this very juncture of death, they inform them that a terrible torment awaits them because of their evil deeds. And if you could see the angels when they take away the souls of these disbelievers, while striking them on their faces and their backs and say, "Taste now the torment of the fire. This is the punishment for the deeds you committed with your own hands, and you should know that God does not do the slightest of injustice to his servants." Surah 8 verses 50 to 51. On the other hand, people who profess faith in their prophets and are absolutely without any stain of disbelief or polytheism and have also not infringed upon the rights of others or been oppressive in any manner, are presented with salutations from the angels and given glad tidings of paradise. To those whose souls the angels claim such that they are virtuous, they say, "Peace be on you. Enter this paradise as a reward of your deeds." Surah 16, verse 32. After this are the abodes which are called Barzakh, Mashar, Hell, and Paradise. The various details about these places which are mentioned in the Quran are outlined below. Barzakh. This word is an Arabicized form of the Persian word Barda, and is used for the boundary beyond which the dead shall be kept till the day of judgment. It is, so to speak, an obstruction that prevents them from coming back. Beyond them is a barrier till the day they are raised back to life. Surah 23, verse 100. The world of Barzakh is a term which has originated from this word. In some hadith narratives, the word grave has been figuratively used for this world. Here, mankind would be alive, but this life would be without any corporal form. Here, the awareness of the soul, the nature of emotions, observations, and experiences would be similar to the one found during dreams. Thus, it has been mentioned in the Quran that when the trumpet is sounded, this dream will end, and the wrongdoers, while suddenly finding themselves alive with bodies and souls in the large field of Mashar, will cry out, "Who has roused us from our resting place?" Surah 36, verse 52. It is evident from the Quran that people whose fate would be absolutely clear, whether they are the righteous who have remained faithful to God and to human beings in an exemplary way, or are the haughty who have rejected the truth in sheer arrogance, for them one form of punishment and reward will begin in this world of Barzakh. The reason for this is that taking an account from them would not be required. Examples of the first category are the companions radiallahu ta'ala anhu of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who fought with him against the forces of evil and were martyred as a result. The Quran says that they are alive even though people are not aware of the nature of this life and are benefiting from the blessings of their Lord. And in this battle do not in any way regard those who have been slain in the cause of God to be dead. They are not dead. They are alive in the presence of their Lord and are being provided for, delighted with what God has blessed them from His favors, whilst receiving glad tidings about those they left behind, who have not yet joined them, that in this kingdom of God there is neither any fear for them, nor sorrow, rejoicing in God's grace and bounty, and from the fact that God will not deny the faithful their reward. Surah 3 verses 169-171. An example of the second category is the Pharaoh and his people who did not profess faith even after the truth had been communicated to them by Moses sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the extent that they were left with no excuse to deny it. Thus, as a recompense of their sin, they were punished in this world and in the world of Barzakh. Also, they are made to see hell every morning and evening. And a dreadful torment encompassed the Pharaoh's people, the fire of hell before which they are brought morning and evening, and the day when that hour comes it will be ordered, "Put the Pharaoh's people through a sterner torment." Surah 40 verses 45-46. It is this torment of the graves which is mentioned in certain narratives. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has further informed us that the first question that would be asked from the people to whom he was sent was regarding his own status. The reason for this is obvious. Once a rasul or messenger is sent to his people, it is he who becomes the only distinguisher of good and evil for them. Hence, after professing faith in him, there is no need to ask anything else from any other person.